There we go.
So we're Proverbs chapter 3 still. Last week we covered 13 and 14, and so this week we'll pick up there at 15. And so if just somebody would go ahead and read 15 through 20.
She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deep broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew.
So this whole section is really highlighting the value that wisdom has. God's wisdom, what it can mean to us, how it can elevate our lives from different perspectives. And so last week, especially there in verse 14, it talks about that it's better than silver, it's more profitable than gold. And so that's where, you know, we need to understand when it comes to God's wisdom and growing in God's wisdom, you know, it's really priceless. And we have availability to it anytime, all the time. So the only reason that we don't take something of great value is on us. You know, God's given us this great value, his wisdom. He's offered it to us through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and it is priceless. But do we see it as priceless is the challenge. So we come into verse 15 there, and he says, she is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. And so we'll think about precious jewels and, you know, how valuable they are, because there's not very many of them. And we can turn this into a ladies' discussion, but let's look into part B of 15 and look at it for all men and all women there. Nothing you desire can compare with her. So let's just brainstorm just real quick. What are things that believers desire? Not just lost people, but what are things that believers desire?
Big houses.
Okay. Keep going.
Wealth.
Okay. What else do believers desire in life? Say, Daniel.
Kids to make
good decisions.
Healthy relationships.
Yeah. Okay.
Health.
Health.
Mm-hmm. Children in general.
Okay. What else do believers desire?
Dennis said to go racing this year.
Go to a beach trip. No, we desire things. What I'm trying to get is, we desire things that aren't what God wants for us. We desire the things of the world more so than we do sometimes his wisdom.
Well, I wanted to start off the conversation. We'll end up there.
Okay.
But I wanted to start off the conversation. The things that were just mentioned, to some level, is it bad to desire those?
No.
Okay. You know, again, to some level on that. Depending on how big the house, you know, right. You might have crossed over there. The wealth part, maybe. Okay. But yet, we should desire to have financial stability, to have a roof over our head, you know, to have our children to be making those wise decisions, to have, you know, health, to have healthy relationships. Those should be things that we desire in our lives. So then how does this verse help us to look at those? So it's okay for us to desire those things, but what is this verse highlighting, Adam?
Don't let them become lord of your life.
Yeah. So we have to keep a balance that they're at this level, the earthly level, and God alone is at his level. You know, so when we think through things that we desire in life, you know, you go, okay, what are your top 10 things? Well, God's number one, and then, you know, my wife's number two, and then the children are number three, and then grandchildren number four, and then friends number five, and, you know, you go down through that. But the distance between one and two needs to be huge. Now, the distance between 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1,000 can be very close. So it's okay for us to have desire for earthly things, But in proportion to the way we desire God and his wisdom, it has to be greater.
I think something that is important to keep in perspective is, as we, you know, the previous 15 verses are a lot of, there are tangible things that wisdom says you can have if you gain wisdom and understanding, right? And I think as Christians, there are times we go, oh no, I don't want to have influence and power, but it's how you use that, and if you view it as a blessing from the Lord, how do I use that blessing to either A, you know, to further his kingdom and to seek his honor and glory.
So if you think about it, for many of you in the room, you have zero desire to have that power and influence. Okay? What you have to see from what Nate was just talking about there is that God wants you to have power and influence to show him. For those of us that are in the room that prefer and really like to have power and influence, we need to make sure that it's always pointed to God. Okay? And so that's where in the room you've got two different perspectives, and I know there's people in the middle there, you know, but for me, you know, like I like to be in control. Well, I need to make sure that that is all pointed to God being in control through me. But yet there's some of you, you're just like, no, no. But you need to have that. And so it's equal across the board. Somebody else on this balancing the desire of God's wisdom versus desires within life. Chan.
So if you look at 16, you know, it connects through, for me, is that wisdom, if you have wisdom, all these things that you desire will come following you, and you won't desire that desire anymore. But yet you desire more wisdom because it will follow through.
Read 16 for us, Chan.
Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are the riches and honor.
So notice she's bringing both to us. You know, we have opportunity to experience both of them if we focus on her wisdom, though. If we focus on getting a long life and have riches and honor in and of themselves, then we're going to be in a messed up, bad space. You know, it's like we seek first, you know, God and his kingdom, and then all these things will be granted to us on that. Brian?
Yeah, I was kind of focused on that verse too, 16. And to me, this is about, do I trust God and his promises? And that's really, when I'm looking at my shelter and my food and my comfort and my future and my kids, and of course, yeah, I think we all probably have a level of wanting those worldly things. But am I able to go, okay, I'm going to trust that if I focus on God first, that he will be true to his word and will take care of the rest? Or do I not trust him and I'm going to take control myself and I'm going to make it happen in my human nature, which is certainly... I've been guilty of that many times in my life.
I think the struggle is real, and that's what I was getting at, is that we say we want wisdom, and yes, we do, but then we go through things in our life, and the flesh takes over, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and we just want... I go through it. I'm just being honest and transparent, and, you know, I'll have wisdom, I'll be great, relationship with the Lord, and then... things come and I'm like, ugh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I want, yeah, and I have those moments where I'm like, I'm going shopping. Sorry,
Captain. Yeah, Brian opened up an interesting path there. We'll talk about the shopping later on. Another interesting path that Lee opened up there, but we'll steer away from that for you. But think about what Brian was saying there about trusting God. You know, so often it's easy to trust, you know, God the Son for all of eternity. You know, that you know, I trust him with you, am I forever and ever. But when it comes to now, are we trusting him? Oh yeah, you know, I'm going to heaven. You know, Jesus is my savior. You know, I'm 100% confident in that part. But yet, are we trusting him with today? And how much can you really trust God with your eternity if you're not trusting him with your today?
But we're still, so that's a discussion that I've had with friends. They say, hey, how can you be deployed and trust the Lord to, you know, for X, Y, and Z? I go, very simple. I trust the Lord is going to take care of me, but I also do my utmost as a person because I'm still responsible for A, B, C, D, and E. I'm not just like, Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still an active participant.
Yes.
And I still am doing everything that I can as a fleshly human to do all of that stuff to bring honor and glory to him.
We do still have, there's a responsibility, there's a spelling in. We still do have responsibility, but yet there is the part about the Holy Spirit and trusting in the Holy Spirit. So yeah, that's like, you know, I've had people that have talked to me about, you know, they need to get a new job, all right? And I'm like, okay, you know, are you putting resumes out? You making your job on the house? No. God's just going to plop the job right there down on top of me. You know, and so that's what I think back to, you know, there is that balance of trusting him, but yet still doing our part, but yet not like, you know, totally expecting him to do it or totally expecting you to do it, you know. So within,
I like what Pastor Sean said months ago, this was sometime last year, and I can't remember the circumstances of his, I think it was when we were going through Genesis, and he was like, do something.
Bless you.
Do something, and then let the Lord bless it. So we have got to take a step and then ask the Lord to come and do his thing with it. You know, we have to do something and then go, Lord, don't know if this is right, wrong, or indifferent, but I'm doing something. Please, you know, ask a blessing on
it. Yeah. So what we've been studying so far is that there needs to be this pursuit of wisdom. And so we're pursuing wisdom. We're pursuing wisdom. But God gave us brains. Right? And he gave us, right, the ability to think and to reason and to make choices. And as we're doing that, right, we're taking the wisdom that we've been searching and studying and right, and going after and using that as part of the process of thinking through what we're doing. So if I wanted to purchase a house, right, first and foremost, I need to, you know, there's wisdom. Can I, first of all, can I afford it? I mean, you know, I mean, I need to, well, yes, I can. Okay. Next thing, and you know, down the line. So we're, and it's a desire, and it's okay. If I desire a 5,000 square foot home, if I can afford that, and that's not going to cause a problem for me and my family, and me giving and honoring the Lord, then there's nothing wrong with that. But there still needs to be that pursuit of wisdom, of godly wisdom, right? As I'm making these decisions, whether it is a home, whether it's a job, whether it's should I get married, you know, whatever it might be, and I think. And when I read here, when it says, she is more precious than jewels, nothing you desire can equal to her, it's not that the desire is bad, it's just that whatever your desire is doesn't equal to the wisdom, right, that you're going to, that you need to obtain or be pursuing in order to lead you in those desires as well. That's just kind of the way I'm thinking about it.
I think in and amongst this conversation, we also need to remember that just because someone might lack the earthly benefits of or doesn't seem to have what wisdom would reap doesn't mean that they aren't wise. That God just may not have blessed them with that at that time.
And that's where, you know, nothing, you know, against, you know, Jan and Dave's testimony. But we have to realize that doesn't always happen.
Right.
And so just because somebody has cancer and they're not healed of it on the earth doesn't mean that there was a lack of faith. I think that's kind of where you're going down that road. Am I good with that?
Because someone doesn't seem to have, you know, the earthly possession.
Riches
and
honor.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah, and definitely just because they don't have as much money as you doesn't mean that they're not making wise decisions along the way.
I mean, the other thing is lay up for yourselves riches in heaven. So it's like it doesn't matter. As long as the why you're desiring what you desire is the ultimate serving of the Lord. So back to what he said, why do you desire the 5,000 square foot home? Maybe for Nate, it's to host more small groups at his home. Maybe for somebody that wants children, it's so that because they can't have children, they want to adopt. So it really comes down to, and we as Christians cannot judge why Nate wants that house. We can't say, he's a flight homie.
Right.
We're a mob and rush.
I don't have that, but
like,
just saying.
We really need to take that step back and pump the brakes and say, I don't know why Nate wants that house. So maybe know Nate, and then you'll know why Nate wants that house.
Yeah.
Or maybe then you'll know why they only want to adopt children. Or why. The why is the reason that you really need to know before you judge or before you move forward. Because that wisdom is where the why is rooted.
And that points to having stronger relationships with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can understand that why of each other. So that we can try to walk in their shoes and see what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. Understand what they're understanding. And that's going to hopefully help us to be able to see what they're experiencing and learn from their experience. And then vice versa at the same time.
Right. No, I was just going to say, a lot of times, too, we got to trust in God and His will for our lives. You know, we can't do God's job. And a lot of times we want to do God's job and we're like, I don't want to wait. I don't want the patience for His prayers. So I'm just going to go ahead and answer my own prayers to where we have to wait for His answer.
And that's where, you know, we have to understand, I think that God is constantly answering our prayer. He's saying yes, no, not right now.
Right.
So I'm saying most of the time you're getting an answer. You just might not be liking the answer that you're getting because He's saying no or not right now. And then that's when you get impatient and be like, well, I'm not hearing God, so I'm going to make it happen. and so that discernment, you know, if He is, you know, so many of us, you know, love Psalm 23. You know, well, if He is your shepherd, you should be able to hear His voice and recognize Him. So you should be hearing from Him. Again, now, you might be hearing from Him, but you might not like it. Then that's a whole other issue on that one. Was there a hand back there? Adam? Okay.
Well, I just wanted to say, it's easy when I'm home and, you know, when I'm reading His word and I have all His wisdom. But then when you cut me off in traffic with my grandkids in the car and my children, I become a thug, you know, like a thugger, okay? And at that moment, the Holy Spirit saying, don't say it. And I'm going zippity-doo-dah, it's coming out. You know what I mean? And I let that anger.
And that's that. That's that sanctification process.
But I'll tell you what, it takes forever.
Yeah. God is so wonderful. God is so wonderful to put those sanctifying people in our lives to help us to be more like Jesus.
It's okay.
Yeah, he's like, man, there's that person that Jesus put in my life. Somebody go ahead and read 17. Let's try to get one more verse in today.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. And all of her paths are peace.
So we've discussed this before, but to me it's a topic that's in the Bible multiple times, so I think God realizes we don't get it the first time or the second time or the third time. What is God's peace?
It's the okayness that He has us in His hand.
Okay. All right.
opposite worry.
Yeah. Say that again, Daniel. I didn't hear it.
I think it's the opposite of worry.
The opposite of worry. There you go. Good. Okay.
I think of this as the opposite of war.
Okay.
So, like, when I, if I choose wisdom and I follow the path the Lord has laid out for me, I'm not warring with Him. I'm not rebelling against Him, and I have this peace. And I see this. It's like every time I get somewhere in my life where I've been doing that, and then I read this, I'm like, man, the answer's right there. I just could have gone His way and been peaceful. But instead, I'm rebelling against the Lord in some way.
That's a good point. My cross-reference actually says Proverbs 16:7, and I was looking at it just a second ago, and it says, When the man's ways please the Lord, who is the source of wisdom, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Good job.
Somebody else, peace. Jason.
I think it's a little bit like what Pastor preached this morning, is being able to rest in him.
The resting.
The calm in the storm. The calm in the storm.
The calm in the storm. Good.
The assurance that he'll never leave you or forsake you.
Okay, good.
I think it's knowing that no matter what happens here, everything's going to be all right with him. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
There's a restoration or a reconciliation of relationship. Think about Romans 5 where it says, we're enemies of God at the right time. He died. Bad paraphrase, but it's having a relationship not as an enemy, like Sean was saying, not being at war with God, but being made a son, an heir.
So you got two homework assignments. If you only want to do one, that would be okay. But I would love for you to be able to share next week either to where you had to focus harder on desiring God versus something else. Okay? Or where was there a place that you were like, you realized, I need God's peace in this moment? Right? So let's look for God to move in our lives, because we're all work in progress, you know, within that. You know, except for Nate. You know,
yeah,
he's arrived already.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So that's where we have to be, you know, transparent and willing to admit there will be a moment this week where we're not desiring God and His wisdom to the level we should. So try to recognize that, and then just be willing to share that. And then the second one, and or, would be, you know, where is there a point where you're allowing the warring of the world to come in on you, and you need God's peace at that point? So let's just try to be looking for those so that we can see God working in us and trying to help us with those this week on that. Let me pray this out. Father, I ask that you would help us to really just be watching and being more aware this week of you working in our midst. Especially when it comes to, you know, that are we desiring you and your wisdom so much more than everything else? And Father, are we really looking for your peace in the midst of the just that warring of the world around us? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.